Grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. If you're a visitor or a guest, we're especially glad you're here. We hope you feel welcome. At this time, I'd encourage members and visitors alike to sign the friendship pads. Those are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign your name and pass to your neighbor so you can greet any new faces by name during the piece or after worship. I draw your attention to announcements of upcoming events. You can find those on the inside cover of your bulletin. There are just a couple I want to highlight for you this morning, and then I'll turn it over to any of you who have announcements. The first is tomorrow morning, Monday morning, we will resume our morning prayers and Bible study. If you happen to be downtown at 9:30 and are looking for a place to pray, we'll be here in the church library, followed by Bible study continuing in the book of Matthew. The second announcement I have, you can see listed in your bulletin. Next Sunday following worship, we will have the first of two congregational meetings held in successive weeks for the purpose of electing our elder nominating committee. Next week, we will ask you to submit names for nominations to that committee, and in the following week, on August 19th, immediately following worship, we will vote on a slate of candidates. So please do plan to stay just a few extra minutes the next couple of Sundays. Now I turn it over to any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Thanks, Anel. Picnic tonight and then next week, if you stay for the congregational meeting, we will feed you. Yeah. Anyone else? Other announcements? It is a joy to gather together and worship and to celebrate what God is doing in our midst. With that joy, let us worship God and begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbor.
Where are you going? we gather here to meet God.
In word and prayer, in bread and wine.
We gather here to meet God.
In the face of our neighbor, in the call to follow.
We gather here to meet God.
Full of hope, in joy of grace, let us worship God.
And let us pray. Gracious God, giving God, we gather to rest in your presence. During your busy weeks, we work for bread. Here we hunger for something more. In days away from here, we look for things to distract us. Here we find the only water that satisfies our thirst. In normal routines, we try to control the chaos of our lives. Here we offer ourselves to you, trusting that you are leading us by the power of your Spirit deeper into the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And now together, have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out our transgressions, wash away all our iniquity, and cleanse us from sin. Create in us a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Do not cast us from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and grant a willing spirit to sustain us. Amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. We might have a couple more we're waiting on. All right, I hear footsteps. Come on, Hannah. It's good to see you all this morning. So I have a question for you, and it's a really important one. So I think one of the things we do here, can you sit down for me, please? One of the things we do here in church, yeah, that's the microphone. Maybe at the end. One of the things we do here at church is we look for God. So if we're looking for God in the church, where would you find? I'll give you a hint, it's not in my microphone. No. All right, let's sit down, okay? Where's God in the church? Do you see God?
He's outside.
Outside? That's a good guess.
In the sky.
All right, Andrew, help us out. We're looking for God in the church. Do you see God?
In our heart?
That's a great answer. Sometimes it's hard to find. We see God in the face of all the people out there. God's in our hearts. God's also at the communion table. So today is one of those special Sundays where we get to take communion together. We eat bread and we drink from the cup and we say that somehow God is present to us in that meal. So in a little while, we're going to hear a story about Jesus. And there were some people who were looking for Jesus just like we do when we come here to church. You know what happened? Jesus hid from them. Why do you think he did that? He ran away. Yeah.
They didn't want to see the people. Yeah,
they wanted to make him a king, and Jesus didn't want that.
Oh, he didn't want to be ruler.
He didn't want to be their ruler.
And he didn't want to make all the decisions.
That's right. He didn't think he wanted to make all the decisions for them. And so the people followed him because he had given them some bread, and they wanted some more, and they wanted him to make decisions. And Jesus said, "You're always going to be hungry, if you keep looking for things like that. But the one thing that Jesus promised is that he would feed them. And he called himself the bread of life. And so that's what we do when we eat communion. We confess that we're together with Jesus so that we'll never be hungry. And that through this meal together, we can know God. That's exactly right. Jesus, we think of the bread as Jesus' body and the cup as Jesus' blood. So we know that even though we can't always see God when we're here, God is as close to us as the bread and as in what's in the cup. So thanks for your help with that. It's an important thing for all of us to know. So next time when you come and you see communion, you can remember that God is with us here. So as we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here. And I did that backwards. Can we have a quick prayer before we go? We put your hands together, and you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus, for being near us. Help us to find you and to find food that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food, satisfy our longing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16. Listen for God's word. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning was a layer of new dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It's the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over until morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning, they gathered it, as much as each needed, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. How does Jesus follow a miracle? After the feeding of the 5,000, after walking on water, Jesus escapes the crowd that has been following them. They just want more bread, but Jesus offers more. From the Gospel of John, listen for God's word to you. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you were looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." And they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to do so that we can see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. And as it is written, he gave them bread to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven to eat, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, we wait in your presence once more, hoping to hear a word for our lives, hoping to receive the one thing we're really hungry for. Speak to us, care for us, love us, feed us. In Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Why are you looking for Jesus? What's in it for you? I think the simpler question for us would be, why are we here in church on a Sunday? And we know the answer. This is the place where we come to worship, to know God and respond to God's grace. And the only way we know how, by singing and praying songs of thanks and trying to learn how to live in a way pleasing to God. This means that this is the place where we come to look for Jesus. But that's not the whole of it. We come here for different reasons, too. When we were young, we came to please our parents, or maybe you came kicking and screaming. That was the rule of the house. You went to church on Sundays, maybe dressed in clothes that were not of your own choosing, and the pictorial evidence of which you hope lies buried deep in some basement box. And then you became a teenager and you realized that coming to church is optional. And then your mother said, "If coming to church is optional, then dinner on Sunday is optional too." And that got your attention. Eventually, you grew out of that phase, but that sense of pleasing someone never went away. Maybe we're still here trying to please our parents. Maybe we're still here trying to please God, reminding God how good it is that we're here. For some of us, it might have been that light on the Damascus Road that knocked us off the wrong path and we found ourselves here. And it was a miracle. And maybe this was the place that welcomed you when you were hurt or desperate or had nowhere else to go. This is the place where you discover that God's arms are always open for you. And you keep coming back, hoping to recapture some of that, the essence of those heady days when heaven seems so close to earth. Maybe you're here because it gives you purpose. You want to be a part of something bigger than yourself. You want to contribute positively to the community. And you're thinking about the big picture questions of your life and you wonder what difference you're making. But here at least, you know your gifts are valued and you have something to contribute. There are other reasons to be here too. Children, marriage, calling, inertia. Maybe you don't always know why you're here, but something keeps bringing you back. Once again, you're a part of the crowd. You're here for a reason you can't quite articulate. What you know is that you're hungry for something, and you've heard this is the place to get food. You're a part of the crowd. So wherever Jesus goes, there's usually a crowd. At the beginning of John chapter 6, which we read last week, there's another large crowd that kept following Jesus. And that's the language that God uses. A large crowd kept following him. Like Jesus was trying to shake them but couldn't, or like John was exasperated on Jesus' behalf, they just kept following him. And so last week, during the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus collected these hungry people into one place, divided what little food that he had, and multiplied it so that every belly ate its fill. And the people expressed their deep gratitude by trying to make Jesus king, which is exactly why Jesus ran away from them. So lo and behold, today Jesus has escaped the crowd. Last week, I interpreted the feeding of the 5,000 and as a kind of communion, and the successive miracle of walking on water as baptism. And this week, I think I want to backtrack on that. The disciples get into a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee looking for Jesus. Jesus runs into him as he's walking across water. I think that's just Jesus' escape plan. The fastest way between two points is a straight line. Jesus walks over water to get away from the crowd. And the crowd wakes up the next morning, and they can't find him. And they wonder if he left with the disciples in the boat. An eyewitness says, no, he didn't see it that way. There's a rumor that Jesus has a house in Capernaum. And so the crowd finds some boats, and they cross over to the other side of the sea. And that's when they find Jesus. Rabbi, when did you come here? That's not the question Jesus answers. Because that's not the question the crowd is really asking. The crowd doesn't have a deep interest in Jesus' travel plans, although maybe if they found out how Jesus got across the sea, they would. They have woken up from their miracle-induced dreams with a hunger that has not been satisfied with a few loaves and fishes. They want more bread. And Jesus says to them, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. But why are we here? Why are we looking for Jesus? What Jesus says to the crowd is, the reason you're here may not be the right one. You're here because you're hungry. You want bread. But the reason you're here may be the very thing that makes you so hungry in the first place. We know what it's like to be hungry. Not in the sense that the morning is dragging and you're checking your watch for how long the sermon's going because the lunch hour still feels far away. We're privileged to know when our next meal is going to be. But that doesn't make us immune from the longings that gnaw at the bottoms of our souls. We're hungry for relationship. We're hungry for purpose. We're hungry for relief for whatever's most pressing in our lives, illness, addiction, depression, anxiety, those things that never seem to go away no matter how much we want them to. And so very near the heart of our worry, we come here hoping that for just 1 hour, we might get enough bread to fill us up, to push aside the existential worry of our life, so that we're capable of functioning in a world that always seems to demand more of us than we're prepared to give. We come back here week after week, hoping for some more food to keep the hunger pains away. And it doesn't work. Jesus says to the crowd, "Stop working for food that perishes. Stop working for the things that keep making you hungry." How in the world do you do that? The crowd doesn't know. Jesus tells them to believe in the Son of Man, suggesting that the answer has something to do with God-promised relief. And so the people say, "Oh, we know what that means. So give us a sign. Our ancestors received bread from heaven. God satisfied their hunger when they were near death in the wilderness. It was a sign that God would be with them and they would have what they needed. Jesus, give us a sign." They're still looking for bread. But the irony in the crowd's declaration is that they already have this sign. And just as the Israelites received manna from heaven, it seemingly rotted and spoiled if it was left out too long, they needed it again every day. And so the people, they have this miracle, they've been fed by this bread, and they want more because they know that they need more, or else they're going to keep coming back. They're going to be hungry. So here they are, approaching Jesus, asking to be fed, asking to be filled with the exact thing that has left them hungry over and over again. Why do they do that? Why do we do that? Why do we do the same thing over and over again, hungering for something more, but only eating the food that perishes? We do that all the time. We eat in the way that we know. One more Sunday observed. One more volunteer opportunity to make us useful to God. One more shot at worship to recapture the emotional intensity of a time when God felt so close. One more obligation fulfilled so that God will love us. One more job so that we feel purposeful. One more house so that we feel like we're at home. We want to feel better about being sick. We want to feel better about being alone. We want our children to have something to do so that they don't make bad choices and, God help us, get a mohawk. We ask for relief from that one problem that presses on us so much, that one problem that God knows, if it was solved, would stop the hunger for good. And so that's why we're here. Just give us the good news. Give us the bread. Help us enough so that we can keep the hunger away. We want to continue to gather manna. God wants to give us something else. Bread that will not perish. Bread that is lasting. Bread that says you will never be hungry again. Sir, give us this bread always. Now the crowd asks for what they really want. They don't just want bread. They don't just want one more problem solved or one more quick spiritual fix to distract them from that hunger that's always there. What they want, what they're really looking for, the reason they're following Jesus is they want to be full. And they have finally realized that the only way they can be full is from Jesus' hands. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In Jesus, we learn how to hunger for things that matter, things that last, things that we wouldn't always choose for ourselves. So why are you looking for Jesus? Jesus' challenge to the crowd undercuts their motive for finding him at first. They just want more bread. Jesus wants to give them much more than that. And so the question for us isn't, what more can Jesus give us, whether it's help or health or healing or anything at all? The real question for us is, can we set aside our longing long enough so that Jesus can redirect them towards something lasting? And that's what Jesus does for the crowd. This is what he says. Do you want a way to be useful? I'm not here to give you that. I'm here to give you a calling. Do you want your kids to grow up well and stay out of trouble? I want them to grow up and be like me, which means they may get into a lot of trouble. Do you want someone who will love you despite your flaws? I came to love you for who you are. Do you want a church, a place where you can gather and find meaning for your life? I want you to gather in the presence of God so that you can find life itself. Do you want more manna? I want to give you bread that lasts, a miracle that always feeds, a well that will never run dry. That's why we're looking for Jesus, even if we didn't know it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In gratitude and thanks, let us return our offerings to God. You may be seated. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In him you will never be hungry. In him you will never be thirsty. So come all you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You are invited to this table to receive your life in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, God, faithful and strong. All your works, the height and depth, echo the silent music of your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned light, night withdrew and creation dawned. Then, as if ages had passed unseen, waters gathered on the face of the earth and life appeared. When at last the days had ripened and the earth was grown full in abundance, you created in your image man and woman, the stewards of all creation. You gave us breath and speech that the living might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you made and called good. All holy God, how wonderful is the work of your hands. Because sin rose up to leave a fault line even in the earth, you step forward to enter into a covenant of peace that can renew the whole creation. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, as a father joyfully welcomes his own, you embraced a people as yours, filling them with a longing for peace that will last, a justice that will never fail. Through countless generations, your people hungered for the bread of freedom. From them, you raised up Jesus, your Son, the living bread, in whom ancient hungers are satisfied. He healed the sick, though he himself would suffer. He offered his life to sinners, though death would hunt him down. But with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms and surrendered his spirit. Eternal God, let your Holy Spirit move in power over us, and over these earthly gifts of bread and wine, that we may have communion in the body and blood of Christ, and that in him we may become one. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you. For so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God."
Thank you.
We invite you to come forward and taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, for your life poured out for us in Jesus Christ, for his body broken, for his spirit renewed, for our hunger satisfied, we give you thanks and ask your blessing that as we go from here, we would be drawn closer into the love of Jesus Christ, remade in his image, to offer bread to a hungry world. These and all our prayers we offer in Christ's name in the way he teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, in the glory forever. Amen. You who are hungry, be filled. You who are thirsty, be satisfied. You who are looking for a way, find your life in Jesus Christ. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.